on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national. Today we're going to cover some international. I'm talking about we cover down on all of the issues. And like the dude just said, we are solid conservative and just plain right. Well, it's Tuesday. That's, what do we call that, Camel Day Eve? Boomer's on the board. Hey, brother, how you doing?
I'm doing good. You?
I'm good.
One thing I don't believe right now is I'm going to tell you what I don't believe.
All right.
One, Hugh Freeze is your Auburn coach. But two,
did you just do that?
I mean, I was actually
2 days in a row. You're talking smack in the studio.
Okay, I'm sorry. We were just talking about it right before we went on.
There's just a serious.
But look how pretty it is outside, and we're supposed to get really bad weather tonight.
Yeah, that's true. So, I mean,
I didn't mean to have the other blow. That was just was uncalled for.
Both of those stories have their downsides. Yes. Yeah, so as an Auburn fan, I'm watching closely to see the Hugh Freeze thing. You know, I'm all about second chances. I know for the fact the Lord's given me second chances in my life, but this is a high profile opportunity to really screw up. So I'm just going to wind up sitting out there and watching and trying not to, get my hopes up too high right away, because he's got to hit the ground running and prove that he is not what some folks are fearful that he is. Anyway, there's that. That's all I'm going to do. I'll let Feinbaum handle the rest. All right. So, hey, we got a great show for you today. It is just Triple Dipper. I deliberately did not have any call-in guests today because I really want to spend some time unpacking some of this stuff. Three big weighty topics, Boomer. Hit it.
The Triple Dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right. The Triple Dipper. Three stories, three themes, if you will, that you have got to know as we go through today's show. Number one, China imploding. I'm going to spend some time on this, and I'm going to unpack it. I just would dare say in more detail than you'll get just on watching an average news show, because what I really want to do is give you multiple sources that tell you a variety of different things from different angles about what's happening. China imploding. That's number one on the Triple Dipper. Stand by for that one. Number two, environmental justice. Have you ever heard of environmental justice? I've got a question mark after it. The title is actually environmental justice. That's the way I've got it written, because literally, what the heck is that? They make up terms. It's basically what it is. It's the Green New Deal, just basically a way they can fund things because, you know, the environment and racism. Oh, now we combine the two, environmental justice. Yay. Number three, national defense. Now, I know that I've got a host of people out there that care about national defense. We have veterans. We have a bunch of green suiters that listen in the audience. And folks that literally do care deeply about the standing of our U.S. military. There's a lot of things happening right now. It's brewing. We're getting close to the passage of another NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act, which is basically the budget and the policies for the military. And there's a bunch of stuff in the middle of all that. We're going to talk about it. Number three on the Triple Dipper, national defense. All right, listen, I have got to... I've got to take my monologue opportunity here, my moment of personal privilege, and really kind of, I've got to just dig into, man, we got to do something. That's kind of where I'm at. And let me ask you this: how much is it worth to you to win? When I ask that question, by the way, it's not just rhetorical. How much is it worth to you to win? Well, let me set the parameters of that discussion first of all. Understand that when I'm talking about the price of victory, I never include the cost of cheating or bribing or backstabbing, all right? There is no victory worth losing one's soul or good name over. What I am talking about is the cost to oneself and one's cause that indicates sacrifices in order to obtain the victory. With that being said, what are you determining to win is the most important question. Is it important? Is it more important than just yourself? Is it a cause bigger than yourself? Does the price of losing negatively impact the greater good? Is the cost of losing so great that it would have a generational impact? If the answer to those questions is yes, then I would say the price of victory should be whatever you're able to give plus more. In my sense right now, though, is that we are in a cultural battle. There are aspects of change that are normal. I mean, things like technology and fashion and daily lingo that we use, those are all subject to change. We expect that. I'm not referring to the old stodgy, I don't like change mentality. Get off my grass. I'm not doing that. What I am talking about is the battle over our actual culture. What is right and wrong? What is acceptable? What is true? What is honorable? And right now, me talking right now, the principles, the truths, the values of this nation that we have long been known for are literally being shredded by those who have never shared those values. And they cannot be allowed to win. I was talking to a friend early this morning. We got together for coffee before I came in. He's in the military. He's currently stationed in Germany. He was home on leave for Thanksgiving. And we were talking about this very issue. He said it's interesting to him to note that the German people, from what he can see, even though they still have their issues, they are still hyper aware of some of what occurred when the Nazis assumed power. The culture took a hard shift during that time, virtually without question, even to the extent that the Nazi Party nationalized private trusts and bank accounts. It just happened. There was no stopping it when there was no one to say no. But this very morning, I also happened to be reading about one of my favorite contemporary historical figures, Sir Winston Churchill. Churchill was not actually the Prime Minister of Great Britain until 8 months into World War II. He was the successor to Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain, who is now referred to as the Great Appeaser, the guy who didn't say no. In 1938, Chamberlain signed the Munich Agreement that effectively just gave up parts of Eastern Europe to the Nazis without a fight. And less than a year later, Hitler violated that agreement by invading Poland, and World War II commenced. And when Hitler's armies advanced further into Norway, Chamberlain's appeasement policies became unbearable, and he had to resign. He paved the way, then, for Winston Churchill to assume the role of prime minister in one of the darkest hours of modern history. But Churchill, he was not an appeaser. He was no shrinking violet. He knew that his call to such a time as that was for only one purpose. It was for the actual survival of British culture. Churchill wasted no time. He called for an immediate and unprecedented emergency meeting of Parliament. He delivered a short, kind of a landmark speech that is, in my opinion, the British version of the Gettysburg Address. Here's the operative part. I'll quote it for you. Just imagine it in Churchill's voice, because I'm not going to do that to you. But imagine it in Churchill's voice. He said this, "I would say to the House, as I have said to those who have joined this government, that I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, and sweat. We have before us an ordeal of the most grievous kind. We have before us many, many long months of struggle and of suffering. You ask, what is our policy? I can say it is to wage war by sea, land, and air with all our might, with all the strength that God can give us. To wage war against a monstrous tyranny never surpassed in the dark, lamentable catalog of humankind. That is our policy. You ask, what is our aim? I can answer in one word. It is victory. Victory at all costs. Victory in spite of all terror. Victory, however long and hard the road may be, for without victory there is no survival. Let that be realized. No survival for the British Empire. No survival for all the British Empire has stood for. No survival for the urge and the impulse of the ages. That mankind will move forward towards its goal. But I take up my task with buoyancy and hope. I feel sure that our cause will not be suffered to fail among men. At this time, I feel entitled to claim the aid of all and to say, come then, and let us go forward together with our united strength." What a speech, man. What a speech. What an attitude. He was literally telling the people of Great Britain and all those leaders who had been appeasing Nazi imperialism that the line had just been drawn, the cause was too great, and the victory would come now at any cost because the price of defeat was far more than the sacrifices of victory. But the threats that I'm talking about, the ones that I'm referring to when I open my monologue here, the threats I'm talking about now, they're really far more esoteric. I know that. They are, to some people, just concepts or ideas, things that deserve to be shaped and molded and set aside at the whims of society. But if you believe that what they really are principles and truths, things that make us a better people and a successful culture, then you have to understand that we have to be busy about saying no to those who are determined to bring about the downfall of this nation. It's not enough, y'all, to just say, I believe in free speech, or I believe the Constitution should be strictly construed. It's not sufficient to simply like having freedom of religion, or to believe firmly that God made two genders and they cannot be changed. We have never been a culture that simply abdicated the well-being of our children to perpetrators. We are not a nation that requires the largesse of other nations for our own solvency. And yet all of that and more are being demanded by a vocal and uncaring minority who see culture as their playground and principles as nothing but modeling clay to be shaped as they see fit. My friends, this is the by God United States of America, and we better start acting like it. Because right now the threat is real, but it comes from within. So I'll go back to my original question. What price for victory? What sacrifices are you willing to make to preserve it? You better start thinking it through right now, because in the next 2 years, we better have that answer. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. There you go. There's my Gettysburg Address. I'm going to tell you, Churchill was the man for the moment. He was literally, and words can be impactful. And the words of Winston Churchill were sometimes all that sustained the British people in a time when they were physically being confronted with the loss of their culture. I'm telling you that I believe that internally we're facing the potential loss of our culture if we don't start taking active and forward steps to say no to some of the things that are being perpetrated by those who could care less about our culture. They just want what they want. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, all fired up. Back in a minute. And we are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Got a few responses to that monologue. Allie from Athens chimed in on the text line. She was texting me back on my phone, too, a minute ago, but she also texted on the text line here. Says, neck deep, guys, neck deep. And that's a reference to another monologue I did just a few weeks ago, talking about this. Well, basically, it was a dream that I had that basically in order to get something done, to save everything that I believed that I loved in that was being held by somebody, that I had to go neck deep into some dangerous water. And that was the dream. It was an amazing dream. But anyway, so she's talking about that neck deep. I agree, Allie. Susan from Elkmont just texted in and said, have you heard the farewell address of Eisenhower? His predictions were chilling. I said, I have. I think, if I'm not mistaken, Susan, that's the speech where he was talking about the military-industrial complex. And it was a speech that basically he was on the way out, had nothing to lose, and he said, I'm giving this speech. You know what? Now that she's pointed that out to me, I got to go back and look at that one again. Jeremy from Huntsville just said, basically, just complimented it and said, and I appreciate it, Jeremy. Thank you much. Brandon from Athens said, I think this is helping. I guess he's talking about the monologue. anyway, thanks, Brandon. Appreciate you. Anyway, text lines are open, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. If you ever forget what the number is, by the way, you can go to our website, rightsideradio.org. Everything that we do is on that website and includes the phone number right there at the very top, 833-687-4448, which we like to say is 833-68-RIGHT. Trivia, you remember why, Boomer, I know you do, why the 6-8?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. 68 Mustang.
68 Mustang, Thunderfoot. Baby. My first car. Oh, and you remember the name,
and
Thunderfoot.
It was light blue.
It was like ice blue. Yeah. Okay. I think that was the name of it. Ice blue was the color. It was so faint that it looked white until the sun caught it a certain way, then you could see a hint of blue in it.
Nice.
It was a bad machine.
Man, I wonder where's Thunderfoot now?
I don't know. I remember the last name of the guy who bought it.
Oh.
There's a whole story about trying to sell the Thunderfoot did not want to leave. Thunderfoot had been with me through high school and college. I even asked Charlene to marry me in it, thinking.
Oh,
you know,
so Charlene knew Thunderfoot.
Oh, Charlene knew Thunderfoot.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. 289 board 30 over the Edelbrock Torker aluminum intake, a Holley 600 four barrel carburetor, hooker, headers, crane, cam. Oh. I used to run the streets of Huntsville in that bad boy. And if I ever found out my kids drove like I drove, it would have been a bad day. Anyway, all right, enough of that. Hey, listen, there's plenty of stuff I got to tell you. I am in the process of potentially losing a bet with Boomer. Check the status of the podcast. So we've got a running bet. And then I got hosed by the Thanksgiving holiday. So the podcast is close to 100,000 downloads, but I said we'd get there by the end of the month, which would have been perfect, except that I forgot we had 2 days of not new download time for the holidays. What are we looking at, bud? Where are we at?
We're going to be right at 97.
Today?
Yeah, 97,000 today.
Shoot. So that means on Thursday I'm bringing donuts is what it sounds like. All right, so the deal is I'm going to miss my time hack, so I'm going to have to bring in donuts. Boomer gets to sit there and eat donuts while I do push-ups. That's the way that works.
But don't we have something else Thursday? Something exciting for everyone?
Yeah, we do.
I think we do.
So here's the deal, y'all. Just one of those moments. We try to bring stuff on this show. You know, I tell you all the time, listen to this show. My goal, I mean, the reason why Charlene and I pivoted our whole life to come do this radio show right now at this stage in our lives was because I want to be able to do what I call the four E's. I want to educate, enlighten, empower, and entertain folks to know what it means to sort of walk the walk and talk the talk in today's modern world. And that being said, we try to bring you guests that we think will not only add to the show, but, you know, give you a sense of encouragement. So that being said, yesterday we finished a major interview with a longtime Grammy Award winning, Dove Award winning country, I mean, a singer songwriter, Christian recording artist, Stephen Curtis Chapman. So we'll have that aired. You've been editing all morning, haven't
all
you?
All morning. It's good.
It wasn't like you had to do like Ted Nugent editing and bleep out the cuss words.
No bleeping.
There were no bleepings required on this one, but
yeah, it was just, you know, just normal editing.
Yeah, just making it sync up to our advertising breaks and all that
that's
kind
right,
of stuff.
That's right.
Yeah. But yeah, you're going to enjoy that. We're going to air it. We think, Boomer, 3 o'clock on Thursday.
Yeah, that sounds about right. That sounds pretty good.
Yeah, we'll start going out on social media tonight, promoing that bad boy. And I mean, just a great. I mean, he was so cool, and you've known him for a long time.
Yeah, we were family friends with him, and up in Nashville, and
he sang
just
at
a
your
great
wedding.
Guy. He got to sing at my wedding. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. So I like the way you said that. He got to sing at your wedding as opposed to you got to have him sing at your wedding.
He got to sing at my wedding. It was our special day, right?
That's right. Thank you very much. Yes. All right. Well, listen, that's going to be Thursday, 3 o'clock, and there it is. What's this text line from Paul from Athens? All he says is excuses. What's he's talking about the podcast. That's right. Paul. Dadgummit. Anyway, all right, we're doing it. Hey, listen, we're going to be unpacking some serious business today. So the Triple Dipper is loaded up with what I would call sort of high-level, heavy topics. We're going to unpack them. Man, I have spent some time digging in on this stuff. The level of resourcing on this first section about China imploding is even more than usual. I finished it up super early this morning before the crack of dawn, and sent it to Boomer, and he got it all ready for me to then come back in and start highlighting. And so, yeah, China imploding is a major – we got to watch this, because I've got one article that points out that these complete social upheavals in, you know, tyrant-run countries, they can start in a flash and catch the world off guard, Libya being an example. So we're going to talk about it. China imploding, number one, Triple Dipper. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. I'm talking about this show goes way down south to Birmingham, up north to Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. Hey, so the first part of the Triple Dipper, China imploding. Now, listen, this is being talked about on every news source. I mean, right now, it's out there. But what's happening is you're finding snippets of it here, snippets of it there, an angle on it here, an anecdote over there, social media, YouTube, whatever. And there's so much. So I went out and spent some time trying to gather in what I would consider to be a rather comprehensive view of some things that are happening from a variety of sources. It's pretty amazing. It's actually really amazing. keep in mind, social upheaval that leads to the level of, I mean, I hesitate to use the word insurrection because that's been so abused by the Democrats since January 1st of 2021. But that leads to the point of societal change, let's put it that way. Sometimes can come on like a flash. Sometimes you see it brewing, you see tensions, you see, you know, parties, political parties struggling or whatever, or you see unrest on a campus that grows out from there. Other times, though, it seems to catch on like a wildfire, and you can watch things happen almost in real time. So what we're seeing right now in China, for perspective here, those of you that remember 1989 Tiananmen Square, if you're not familiar with it, you need to go look it up, because that is still to this day considered a rallying cry for social unrest around the world. Tiananmen Square, remember Tiananmen Square, that kind of thing, against communism and tyranny. Well, what we're seeing right now, the level of protest, the level of social upheaval going on in China, which is a lockdown nation. I mean, one of the most locked down nations in the world. Now, North Korea, in my opinion, still has the true, you know, copyright, if you will, on how to lock down a people and just have them do it like it's expected. China, on the other hand, has to issue martial law and enforce it. The people of North Korea, there's a great book, by the way, if you haven't seen it, on our website. On our website, rightsideradio.org, there's a recommended reading list, books that I've just found impactful over the years. One of them is called Escape from Camp 14. You want to read a book that talks about what it must be like to live in a country where the actual mindset of the people is subservience to the state. Read Escape from Camp 14. It's about a guy who grew up in a gulag in North Korea and then one day began to believe there must be something outside the wire that he'd never seen, and he escaped. So he's a North Korean that defected to South Korea. Amazing story. China, on the other hand, is a place where North Koreans try to escape too, believe it or not. That being said, what's happening right now in China is on a scale like we have not seen since the 1989 Tiananmen Square confrontation. The level of fight coming from the people, the level of protest, the level of crackdown by the state has not been seen to this level since 1989. And then even then, 89, there was not a whole lot of precedent for it before that. The perspective you might want to look at in terms of how fast these things can go is, in more recent times, is Libya. The failed state of Libya just fell apart with the fall of Gaddafi. You've got things like the Iranian Revolution, when the Shah was overthrown by the Ayatollah's fundamentalism. We saw it brewing. It began to be unrest. But then all of a sudden, wha-bam, it happened. And next thing we know, we had Iranian hostages in the U.S. Embassy. You've got situations around the history of the world where the social uprising can just spark and just go. I don't know how far China will go on this, the Chinese people. I don't know. I mean, there are some experts that say, watch it, it could really go all the way. Others are saying, no, but it is bigger than usual. That's kind of the way it's at right now, where it's at right now. But here's the thing. It all comes from a denial of personal freedoms. One of the reasons why I was so inspired today to do that monologue that I did about what price victory is because we are literally, even though we get tired of big government, we get tired of things as conservatives, as civil libertarians, as people who care about, you know, the fundamentals of freedom. Yeah, you know, you and I doing the show every day, we can talk about that and sort of get irritated with it and talk about what we need to do. We have no idea what it's like to live in a place like China where they are not just doing 14 days to flatten the curve. They are literally creating entire zones of the nation where people are not allowed to leave their homes under threat of martial law, where they literally have drones flying over houses taking pictures to see if you're outside without a mask on, where they literally have surveillance cameras that already have your biometric data so they can then follow up to see who that was they saw getting groceries with their mask not on tight enough. They're doing that. That's what they're doing right now. They've got drones flying over the streets of Shanghai spraying a mist, and people don't know what it is, but allegedly it's a disinfectant of some type. I mean, what are they spraying, Lysol or something worse? I don't know. The people don't know. You can watch those, by the way, you can watch those drones on YouTube. It's amazing. All I'm saying is this, y'all, watch it. Watch it and go ahead and have a morbid fascination with it. Let it sink in what can happen if you let government keep getting bigger. But let it also sink in as to that is our biggest adversary on the world stage right now, China. That is the nation that allegedly has the Belt and Road policy and the long game in which they intend to become the world leader, which means supplanting us. So if that is the nation doing that to its own people, what would they do to another nation that they have had precedence over? If that is a nation that will do the things we're seeing to their own economy in the desperate desire for power and control, if they will do that to themselves to exert power and control over their own people, what will they do to world markets? What will they do to violations of foreign policy and international trade agreements? What will they do to monetary policy? What will they do to things like, oh, I don't know, protect themselves from the exposés that come from knowing that the Wuhan lab is very likely where COVID started? Interesting. Well, when you're a society that's locked down like they are right now, nobody can get in to really see much. And the level of censorship coming out of them. In a free and open society, you don't censor the internet like they do. It's one thing to take down child porn. It's another thing to take down anybody who will say the state was wrong, which they're doing. It's one thing to say, yeah, we're not going to allow you to violently disrupt the flow of government. It's another thing to say you're not allowed to have slogans that we disapprove of on signs. Think about it. So, yeah, what's happening right now is that story, the first thing I got here, AP News dated yesterday. China's Xi, that's the premier Xi. China's Xi faces threats from public anger over his zero COVID policy. So here's the deal. They've got a plan, allegedly, to eradicate COVID in China. Now, you can't do that. That's like saying you're going to eradicate the common cold. It's a virus. Viruses don't get just eradicated. Viruses grow and mutate, and they thrive. And as Dr. Jordan Vaughn said on our show at one point, the goal of any virus is to adapt to find a host that can sustain it. The goal of a virus is not to kill itself by killing everything. It's to continue. That's why you see them adapt. They're adapting for their own survival, a virus is. However, that being said, China has a zero COVID policy, meaning they are trying to eradicate it inside their borders. So, story on AP. Barely a month after granting himself new powers as China's potential leader for life, Xi Jinping is facing a wave of public anger of the kind not seen for decades, sparked by his zero COVID strategy that is about to enter its fourth year. 4 years of this. 4 years. Demonstrators poured into the streets over the weekend in cities including Shanghai and Beijing, criticizing the policy, confronting police, and even calling for Xi to step down. By the way, you don't just call for Xi to step down without facing some repercussions. You're talking about the guy who can have you disappeared. That's what they call it. They call it being disappeared. It's an unusual way of saying the word, but in China, people are disappeared on a regular basis when the state police come to their house, take them away for so-called questioning, and they're never heard from again. They were just disappeared. Well, that can come from simply just questioning the state. On Monday, it says, demonstrator gathered in the semi-autonomous southern city of Hong Kong, where the pro-democracy movement was all but snuffed out by a harsh crackdown in 2019. Most protesters focus their angers on restrictions that confine families to their homes for months at a time. Months. Can you imagine? You're not talking about 14 days to flatten the curve. You can't go to church or you can't shop in the grocery store. We're talking about you can't leave your house for months at a time. Why? Because they say so. In a minute, I'm going to tell you what they did that caused the death of some people recently. That's what sparked all the major protests. Says the CCP has long imposed surveillance and travel restrictions on minorities like Tibetans and Uyghurs, more than a million of whom are being detained now, believed to be detained now in camps, because they won't renounce their own traditional cultures and religions and swear fealty to Xi. But this weekend's protests included many members of the educated urban middle class from the ethnic Han majority. So there's the Han majority is one of the ethnic groups that tends to be the upper middle class. They tend to be the ones who were more in charge of China. Well, even that segment of society is saying we've had enough. So Xi is on his heels a little bit, but Xi is cracking down. He recently, if you're not familiar, by the way, Xi is now the dictator for life, apparently. He's now setting up a dynasty. He's no longer a party guy. He's not a guy that is approved by the proletariat or the Politburo standing committees. He's literally appointed himself to a third 5-year term, which is unheard of, and it's believed that he's going to stay there as long as he feels like it. And so one expert says, since there are no longer so-called party divisions, kind of like Republican-Democrat, there's no infighting in the Politburo because he replaced his opposition with loyalists and appointed himself as a dictator for life. Well, there's no political wrangling to happen. That way, it's going to be difficult to make a political decision. What you're looking at now is it all happens on the street. All right, so, Burma, let's take the break right now, brother. We'll come right back. This is fascinating to me. I hope it is to you. China is imploding right now. How far will it go? I don't know. But in a minute, I'm going to start telling you some of the things that are happening to actual people on the streets. Some of the word is getting out. What are we seeing? What are we hearing? Wow. To me, it's just fascinating. And this is the country that is supposed to be our number one contender on the world stage. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Oh, yeah. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid conservative and just plain right. I love that bump. That's my favorite, man. I just have to sit there and let it play for a second. Good stuff. All right. Hey, listen, I'm in number one of the triple dipper, China imploding. So I'm trying to lay the foundation here for why this topic is so important. I mean, to me, on a foreign policy scale, and I'm they're not calling me on Fox News to come give commentary on foreign policy, but foreign policy, I love the look at what's happening around the world sometimes, getting outside of our own borders and thinking through how does that impact us. Well, this could have a huge impact on us, what's happening in China. I also believe that what's happening in Ukraine is something that has long-standing ramifications that go way beyond whether or not Ukraine just wins. I mean, I'm very concerned about Ukraine and the amount of money we're sending over there with the lack of accountability. I want that tracked down. I want the level of accountability we should have had on every U.S. dollar that went over. But I will say this, if we don't see Putin stopped there, then we're looking at not just Eastern Europe. We're looking at the Baltics. We're looking at encroachments further against NATO. We're looking at it's where would it stop? I don't think he just wants Ukraine. I think he wants the old Soviet empire. So there's one major foreign policy story that we've unpacked at length on times of the show, but right now what's happening in China, on the world stage, ain't nobody considered more of our adversary than China. If I had to pick the big four, you're looking at North Korea, which is really, it's a nuclear-powered toothless tiger. I mean, North Korea does not have the economy or the social will, I think, to actually go into a ground war, but they're crazy. I mean, crazy as a jackrabbit on speed. Just crazy. So you got to watch North Korea at all times. Then there's Iran. Iran is crazy evil. Crazy evil trying to get nukes. And Biden's the only thing standing between us and that. Wow. All right, there's that. Exporters of terrorism. Wow. And then on top of that, you got Russia. Russia has proven itself to be somewhat of a bear with old teeth, if you know what I'm saying. We're not seeing what we thought the Russian bear had, but we're still seeing a Russian bear that is willing to step on somebody else's territory and do what it wants to do. And they don't care about force on force. They're willing to destroy a people and a culture if that's what it takes to get what they want. But the other one, the one who is the most calculating, the one who has the most unknowns, the one who is willing to take every step of using the acronym DIME, all the diplomacy, the informational or intelligence, the military, and the economic power it's got, and put it into what we call the long game, which is like playing chess. That's China. So China right now is considered our biggest near-peer adversary. And China is going through social upheaval like we have not seen What an opportunity to watch something happen. So what else is happening? So CNN's got an article here, came out when? Today. China's lockdown protest, what you need to know, it says. So number one, let me tell you what the flashpoint was. COVID lockdowns were getting old. They were already seeing occasional dissent. There were people beginning to do onesies and twosies type protests, but then this happened. Just last week, in the city of Urumqi, I believe it's called, there was a deadly fire in an apartment building. Remember I told you a while ago about social lockdowns. 14 days to flatten the curve times 4 years. It's bigger than that. The people in this apartment building, the authorities had locked and chained all the doors so the people could not leave, and the building caught fire. The firemen who responded to the scene, it spent 3 hours trying to access the fire points to bring relief. 10 people, including a 3-year-old child, died in that fire. Why? Because they had the doors to the building chained so the people could not leave because the authorities said that's the way to handle a COVID lockdown. Chained them inside a building, and when the fire broke out on the upper floors, the people were trapped and they couldn't leave. That's inexcusable. Well, the word got out. So at least 10 people died, maybe more. Public fury, according to CNN. Videos of the incident began to get out. People began to see it. The city had been under lockdown, complete lockdown, for 100 days. Close to a third of a year, they had been on total lockdown. Residents unable to leave the region, many of them forced to stay in their homes. The ones who died in the fire were actually chained inside their homes. So the protest began. CNN has now verified that over 20 demonstrations have taken place so far across 15 Chinese cities, including the capital of Beijing and the financial center of Shanghai. And by Sunday evening, mass demonstrations have spread not just to Beijing, but also to Chengdu, Guangzhou, and Wuhan, where thousands of residents called for an end to COVID. But more remarkably, the people aren't just calling for an end to, COVID restrictions. They're not just calling for an end to COVID restrictions. They're on the streets, and the things they're chanting for are freedoms. They're not just saying, we want you to stop COVID lockdowns. We want to go back to the way it was before COVID. They're not saying that. They're saying, we want freedom. We want to govern ourselves. We want Xi to be gone. We want the Communist Party to be gone. That's why this has taken on a new flavor. How far will it go? I don't know. But it's the first time we've seen this. So CNN goes ahead and points out, why is this so significant? Because public protest is so rare in China. You can't protest. The Communist Party has such a grip on all aspects of life in China that you can have people show up at your police show up at your door just because you said something on social media incorrectly. And they've got a mass surveillance system where they literally keep all your biometric data. And they can scan you from a camera from afar and then show up at your house because they recognized you. Well, it's getting worse. The internets are censoring. And folks, when I come back and tell you some of the things people are putting up with over there, it's going to curl your hair. Y'all stay tuned. China imploding. Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios for hour number two, local, state, national, international. Man, we cover down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. I'm in number one of the Triple Dipper, unpacking this whole scenario we've got going on right now in China. I'm calling this section China imploding. And I don't know that I could paint it strong enough as a situation that if you are at all inclined to think outside the borders of the United States, to watch issues of foreign policy, this is one to watch. Why? Because there are times when moments like this can be exploited, for one, just being very candid there. There are times when you look at a foreign nation and you go, what can we do to help that happen? There are other times when you also have to speak to the situation that alone can provide a level of encouragement or discouragement to those who are rallying for liberties and for freedoms. And we're not seeing a lot of that. But let me tell you some things that are happening. I told you that just a moment ago before we went to the break, if you didn't hear it, that what really sparked the true protests that we're seeing, the ones that are, you know, have thousands of people in the street calling for political change, was a deadly fire in the city of Urumqi, the capital of northwest China's Xinjiang region. I'm looking at a story here from Channel News Asia, dated today. It says that was the catalyst for the public anger, with many blaming the COVID-19 lockdowns for hampering the rescue efforts. You think? I mean, the people were chained in their apartment building because of a 100-day straight civil lockdown. People weren't allowed to leave their homes, and they're chained in. So what are you supposed to do when the building catches fire? You're not even allowed to leave to get groceries or go to work. You can't go check on your elderly grandma. You can't go outside and get some fresh air. None of it. Because if you do, you're considered a violator. Well, protesters, it says, have been using these calls for greater freedoms, with these rallies for calls for greater freedom, with even some demanding the resignation of President Xi, who recently appointed himself to a historic third term as China's leader. Large crowds gathered Sunday in Beijing and Shanghai. They clashed with police. The BBC said one of its journalists had been arrested and beaten by police. So foreign journalists, those that are there, are at great risk because the Chinese government doesn't want the word getting out. And so if they're already in country, if they're like a foreign correspondent embedded in China and they go to report in the streets, they run the risk of getting detained, getting beaten like the guy from BBC did. President Joe Biden, though, what were his comments? Well, it's said that he's monitoring the unrest closely. Okay. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby would not describe Biden's reaction to the protesters' demand, but said the president supported their rights. Okay. What does that mean? The new British Prime Minister, his name is Rishi Sunak, warned that China posed a systemic challenge to UK's values, and as his government was condemning the recent beating of a BBC reporter, he went on to say, the Prime Minister did, the so-called golden era of UK-China relations, trumpeted by one of his former prime ministers, was now over, along with the naive idea that trade would automatically lead to social and political reforms. In other words, they're not buying it. Britain is speaking stronger than America on this one. Britain is saying, you know what? Apparently working with you, China, does nothing. It doesn't do any good at all to hope for you to change because we are willing to have relations with your country. That's what they're saying. So what about on social media? How are they getting the word out? I mean, how are people talking to each other over there if they're locked down? Well, they do have social media. They do have the ability to do some things, but the Chinese government is cracking down on it like you wouldn't believe. I mean, like, you think that Twitter censors things over here. So here's a story on a website called Observers France 24. It says, those who don't wear masks in public, this is dated last week, November 21st. Those who don't wear masks in public face serious consequences. In Hong Kong, footage on social media shows police using pepper spray on foreigners after being caught not wearing masks in the metro area. Another published on the same day shows a foreigner in Beijing being arrested for not wearing a mask outside. Footage taken in the southern city of Guangzhou on 17 November shows two women being tied up and left sitting on their knees in the street after they reportedly tried to pick up a takeout meal without wearing their masks. Yeah, this is what life is like in China right now. Drones, it says, have been used to enforce coronavirus measures across China, as images online illustrate. One video of a drone being used in Hunan province was published on Twitter on November 20th. By the way, if you want to see it, just go to YouTube, or for that matter, just go to Google and type in Chinese drones COVID and see what you get. I watched one this morning, Chinese drones flying over streets in, I think it was Shanghai, spraying some kind of a so-called disinfectant. We don't know what they're spraying. And by the way, what a great way to test the use of drones in chemical warfare. Oh, look at that. How well do these work in an urban environment? Can we get them to tight places? Can we spray people? Can we fly over people and actually spray them? Can we? And yes, you can. So what a great way to beta test an opportunity to use drones for chemical warfare. Yeah. What you got, bud?
Not only like the chemical warfare, but can't all the drones, they all have cameras, right?
Oh, yeah.
As well?
Oh, yeah. They're using their biometric data on people left and right with drones right now. They're flying over crowds, scanning, and then running it through their databases to see if they pick up any facial matches, and then going and knocking on their doors. That's one of the stories I'm about to get to here in a minute.
I didn't mean to jump ahead.
No, you're good. You're good. See, that's what this is. You're anticipating because you know that possibility exists. Well, so do they, and they're doing it.
Man.
Story that I've got here also went on to say, on November 1st, a 3-year-old boy died of carbon monoxide poisoning after his father's request for help to an emergency hotline were refused because they lived in a zone that had COVID cases. So, in other words, 911, so to speak, services are being restricted if you're in a hot zone. Good luck. Hope you don't die. It says the death stirred public outrage on social media. In response, the authorities promised to try and learn from their painful lessons. Here's the thing. We're going to get to this more in a minute. The policy has had devastating economic costs. See, China's doing this to themselves. In an effort to maintain control and show who's in charge around here, so to speak, China is shutting down its own economy. It's amazing to watch. And this has never been more apparent, this article says, than when the world's largest iPhone factory, Apple has the world's largest iPhone factory in Xingzhou, China, where they forced the staff to lock down at the factory after a COVID outbreak. No one was allowed to go home. Videos shared online showed workers trying to flee the factory after the announcement in an attempt to escape the quarantine as the gates were being locked. I'm telling you, it's amazing to watch some of this unfold. But an article here on National Review says, so why did this come as a surprise? How did this boom, all of a sudden we're seeing protests. Like, where'd it come from? Well, first of all, it comes from a populace that's been beaten down and they're sick of it. Secondly, it comes, and this article points it out, National Review dated yesterday, why the Chinese protest came as a surprise. It also points out that one expert says this is what authoritarian regimes do. They lie about the conditions so the outside world doesn't see it until it just explodes and they can't contain it anymore. It's just like an eruption. It just happens. But what you didn't see happening under the surface was what they were trying to deny existed to the world. It says in 1988, it points out here, the Federal Research Division published a nearly 500-page country study on East Germany. At no point in that report did anyone ever sense that 1 year later, East Germany would no longer be existing as a country because the people rose up and overthrew the East German authorities and tore down the wall. So 1 year before that, we were writing papers about, the 500-page country study on East Germany, and here's the things to watch out for, and yada, yada, yada. Bam, they disappeared. What just happened? Didn't see that coming. In 1992, it says political revolutions unavoidably continued to catch the world by surprise, and that's a year of upheaval. Most stories, it says, of how revolutions happen, that some set of necessary conditions must be obtained. In other words, you have to have an economic downturn, a loosening control of the military police, a brewing ethnic strife. Something has to happen, but then on top of that, you have to have a catalyst. You have to have that moment. That's why some are saying the issue of what happened in that apartment complex in Urumqi where the people died because they were chained in the building in a COVID lockdown is a flashpoint. All right. What's our government saying? I'm telling you what's happening on the streets. What's our government saying about this? Paul from Athens is saying Biden apparently is taking a nap. I see it. Well, I'll tell you what. Know this. It's significant enough. And by the way, Boomer, tell him that we're going to go to a break here, so he's going to have to know that. But I see a caller coming in. But here's the deal. The U.S. Embassy in China has now issued a statement to all U.S. citizens in the country. They need to keep a 14-day supply of their medications, bottled water, and food for themselves because they could wind up being caught up in circumstances that do not allow them to get out and get the things they need. Huh. In other words, have your go bag ready and supplies in the house because a zombie apocalypse is coming, is what they're saying. So anyway, here's a statement actually issued by the ambassador. The People's Republic of China authorities have expanded the COVID-19 prevention restrictions and control measures as outbreaks occur. These measures may include residential quarantines, mass testings, closures, transportation disruptions, lockdowns, and possible family separations. Ambassador Burns and other mission officials have regularly raised our concern with PRC officials. We will continue to do so. Another State Department official went on to say, I think this is a message, actually a former State Department official, said, I think this is a message to U.S. citizens in China. The State Department believes that some of the measures and the crackdowns by China could result in further lockdowns and even travel bans, and they may get stuck. There's that. Boomer, let's do this. I've got a sound clip that we're going to come back to here in a minute from Gordon Chang, a renowned expert on China. We're going to hear what he had to say about how our government is responding to this. But in the meantime, let's take a break right now. We'll come right back. I'm in number one of the tipper, closing down the segment here. But, man, I'm telling you, this is key. China imploding. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We're in number one of the Triple Dipper, believe it or not, 3:23 p.m. and still moving on China imploding. We're going to take a little bit more time on this. Y'all, if I got a caller on the line, I do, don't I? Yeah, line one. Is that Jeff? Jeff from Indiana. How you doing, brother?
Doing great, Phil.
Good. What's on your mind, man?
Oh, did you have a good Thanksgiving?
I did. It was lower key than usual. It was really just a few of us this time because we got folks kind of spread out, but it was good. How about you?
Yeah, oh yeah, my second or third time, you know, going here, there, and yonder. I gained a few pounds, I think, you know.
That's right.
I guess, you know, it's going to be fun to kind of watch you do these push-ups here for a long time. I can't really do a push-up anymore. I do more of a push-out, push away from the table when I get done eating.
Yeah, get in there and exercise that dinner muscle and then do your push-outs. That's right.
Got to see how this old ranger does, huh?
That's right. We'll get some. I guess I have to do it for the cameras on the live stream here, I guess, is what we're talking about. But, yeah. What do you think, man? China, you tracking this topic?
I think you need to watch this because this is a precursor to what we're going to be for long.
Oh.
As soon as you lose that Second Amendment right that Biden's trying to take away from everybody, we're going to be in the same boat as Chinese. You don't think Fauci would like to do exactly? He salivates over what they're doing over there. He's licking his lips going, gosh, I wish I could do that here.
Yeah, everything he wished he could have done during 14 days to flatten the curve times 50, China's doing. I mean, I thought Australia was bad, though. Australia did have a lot of heavy-handed lockdowns, and New Zealand also. But, man, China, beyond the pale. It's just amazing what they're doing. Chaining people in their apartment buildings. What the heck?
Well, yeah, I mean, maybe instead of giving arms to the over there in the Ukraine, we might need to start handing out arms to the Chinese. I think they're probably in worse shape than what they are.
Yeah, the question is, how do we get them to them? I think, you know, right now, at the very least, give them a dose of encouragement. But we're really seeing a pretty tepid response from the U.S. government right now. It's kind of like, wow, that's happening. Hey, good luck to you, fellas. That's not really much of a response.
Just remember, this is what tyranny looks like when people are unarmed.
Yeah.
And so if you ever, you know, think about, you know, getting rid of the Second Amendment, you know, all those idiots out there who think that, this is what you'll see. If you like what's going over in China, then you'll get a good dose of that.
Yeah. And by the way, if you don't think it matters that you're allowed to assemble or have freedom of speech, look at what's happening in China. I mean, wow.
Yeah. We're going that way now. Look how speech has been, you know, they're going after people saying things and stuff, and the news cycle, you know, the news sources. I mean, they're all basically trying to hush everybody up and lie to you. And so, I mean, you know, we're seeing it happen right here in much lesser dose, but they're you know, that's the way they're wanting to go. So if people need to wake up. They need to actually become woke instead of being asleep like they are now.
It's a different kind of woke. It's a real woke. It's the original version of woke that needs to happen. Exactly. All right, Jeff. Well, be careful on the road, brother. Where are you at right now?
I'm just south of Nashville here, running through this nice little rain shower that you're going to get here in a little while if you ain't already got it.
Oh yeah. So now we describe that as south of Nashville, north of Bucky's. Is that right?
South of Nashville, about 40 miles.
All right, man. Be careful. You have a good night. We'll see you, buddy. Hey, Boomer, I tell you what, man. I think we have time for it. I want to do this clip of Gordon Jang. You got that audio clip? I think we have time, don't we? Yeah. Let's do this. It's about a minute. Gordon Chang is one of the most renowned experts on China policy. He had some things to say about our tepid response. Go ahead and play that clip.
Unrest at the same time. Now, is it possible? I don't think you win revolutions with slingshots, but is it possible President Xi has to worry about his regime?
I think he certainly does, because the protesters on the Chinese streets over the weekend were not only saying that Xi Jinping must step down, they were saying that the Communist Party has to leave China because the Chinese people want to govern themselves. And that is revolutionary. And right now, the Communist Party is rounding up people because China has maybe 620 million surveillance cameras. It has artificial intelligence, facial recognition, which, by the way, they got from Microsoft and others. And they can identify all of these people. You know, it is the number one job of an American president to clearly and proudly defend and promote freedom and democracy. And we didn't hear that from John Kirby. We didn't hear it from President Biden's statement. Shame on us, because these are our values. And when we don't promote our values, the Chinese notice.
When we don't promote our own values, the Chinese people notice. When they say, hey, America, you're supposed to be that country that believes in certain things, and you're not even hardly saying anything about what's happening to us over here. I mean, it's not like we're saying, let's send tanks over there and help support the Chinese people. We're not doing that. But at the very least, you look at it and go, hey, maybe we ought to make a more bold statement. Maybe we ought to say something like the British just said about how the golden era of Chinese relations is over. But no, we're doing the, we believe in the right to peacefully assemble. That's about as far as it goes so far. All right, listen, we're going to wrap this up when we get back. I'm going to tell you, all you iPhone users, I'm a Droid guy, by the way, but all you iPhone users, you may want to hear how Apple is helping the Chinese government keep its people cracked down. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. I'm talking this show covers some ground across the northern part of our state, down south of Birmingham, all the way up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. Hey, by the way, before I forget, thanks to John from Huntsville who let me know that we're already seeing some pretty severe weather in the Huntsville area. Y'all stay safe tonight. Have your weather plan in place. Be aware that you might have to track the status as you may have to go out, or if you're going to work later or whatever. So just, severe weather. They're saying it could be high winds, possible tornadoes, hail. Just depends on where you are, but keep a track on the weather across the northern part of the state as it sweeps through from Mississippi even now as we speak. All right. Hey, listen, I'm in this number one of the Triple Dipper, China imploding, about to kind of wrap it down. Hey, Boomer, if calls come in, make sure they stay on topic, man. I want to talk this one through and move it right on. The bottom line is this. What is happening in China is an orchestrated effort, but there are some assets to the Chinese government that come straight from the United States, Apple being among them. In fact, even as we speak, apparently, Governor Ron DeSantis just called out Apple hard. I just retweeted it on my own Twitter feed. If you want to follow me on Twitter, it's @Sen, that's S-E-N, @Sen Phil Williams. I just retweeted it myself a moment ago. I literally, during the break, saw that the governor was just out there saying, you know, calling out Apple and the Chinese Communist Party. Police are actually stopping, according to Reuters, Dateline yesterday, police are actually stopping people on the street, demanding to see their phones, checking their phones for certain things. One of the things they're checking is for see if they have access to VPNs, virtual private networks, because people are doing that to be able to trade information. They're also checking to see if they have the Telegram app, which I'm not super familiar with, but it's basically an information sharing opportunity. Telegram has already been banned in China, and they're literally seizing phones, checking them for just, and you know, over here in the United States, that requires a subpoena, by the way. That requires a warrant. You can't just grab somebody's phone in the street and say, "Give me your phone," and begin checking through it. State media did not mention the protests, though, instead urging citizens in their editorials to stick to the COVID-19 rules. Many analysts say China is unlikely to reopen before next spring. The demonstrations, one expert says, do not imminently threaten the existing political order, but they do mean the current COVID policy mix is no longer politically sustainable. And so, yeah, police seizing phones. Well, why does that matter? Well, first of all, the world's largest iPhone manufacturer, one of the flashpoints in the COVID protests that we've just been seeing, is in, I think it's Guangzhou, China. Huh, really? And guess what Apple's been doing? Oh, I don't know, making it easier for the Chinese government, apparently. So, story here on townhall.com. Speaking of phones, new reporting reveals that Apple is the latest to rush to the CCP's rescue just ahead of the fledgling uprising that has caused protests in various cities. Those speaking out against the Chinese government are finding themselves without a key method of sharing information, thanks to Apple's decision to limit the ability of iPhone users in China to pass files from device to device, bypassing the CCP's sensors and surveillance state. In other words, Apple, well, let me just read it to you. This is maddening. You know, unlike Elon Musk, who just made his Starlink satellite capability, internet capability available to everybody in Ukraine because they needed it to get their word out, Apple's making it harder. It says, as Yahoo Finance noted, Apple's decision for users in China means the country's most widespread show of public dissent in decades will have to manage without a crucial communication tool because Apple restricted its use earlier this month in China, only in China. The report explains further how Apple pushed a software update for its handsets in China that kneecapped a key means of spreading information. So here's the deal. All of you guys that are out there using your big iPhone users, you know Apple has AirDrop. It's a file sharing feature on iPhones and other Apple devices. AirDrop is a significant opportunity for people to trade information back and forth and get their videos to someone else who can then get it out to somebody else. It's been helping the protesters in authoritarian countries everywhere. It's been helping them in China. Because AirDrop relies on direct connections between phones. You can bypass the network devices where the sensors are. Except in China, there was an update that was pushed out with no explanation. Hey, everybody needs to download this update, iOS 16.1.1. But for some reason, iOS 16.1.1, which went to iPhone users worldwide, it didn't tell you that embedded within that update was a change that only applies to iPhones sold in mainland China, where AirDrop can now only be sent to receive messages for about 10 minutes and it switches itself off and can no longer be used. It says there's no longer a way to keep the everyone setting on permanently on Chinese iPhones. It was first noticed by Chinese readers of the 9-to-5 Mac. It doesn't apply anywhere else. So bottom line is Apple won't respond to requests for comments on why it did this. But the end result is this. Their largest manufacturing capability is in China. Their iPhone factory just had a major riot. Their people are being locked down in the factory for Apple in Guangzhou. And now Apple has issued an update so that all phones in China can no longer share data the way they used to. Why? Who does that help? Not the people. It helps the Communist Party. So what are they doing? How are they? They're not allowed to, by the way, they're not allowed to have slogans. Slogans are verboten over there. You cannot go out on the street with a slogan that says, like, you know, hashtag down with Xi. You can't do that. It's against the law. So what are they doing? They're holding up blank white paper. That's become the symbol of protest. Is blank white paper. No slogans, just a piece of blank white paper. It's become such a thing that this is even being called the white paper revolution. Wall Street Journal has an article, Dateline, yesterday. New symbol of protest in China roils the censors, blank white paper. They don't know what to do with it. So now what they're having to do is scan the internet, and literally the state-sponsored censors are deleting from the internet pictures of people holding blank white paper. And so they're getting clever. They're starting to do things like just posting pictures of a box of blank paper, telling people where they can go buy more paper. You got one paper company that was being persecuted because it was said that they were canceling their sales. No, they're not. They came out very quickly and said, no, we're not. All said and done, the BBC also reports people are knocking, police are knocking on people's doors, coming to their homes because they were recognized on the street, stressing that they can't do that anymore and being told that they're having to, you know, be detained and questioned. One Beijing protester told Reuters, we're all desperately deleting our chat history on our phones. It's real. It's happening right now. And it's happening within the boundaries of what people say is our near-peer adversary in the world stage, China, imploding. How far will it go? I don't know. One expert says this could mean the end of Xi. I don't think so. I think what it really means, though, is, like one other expert said, their COVID lockdown policies have become politically unsustainable. They can't keep doing this. And they're going to have to find the easy way to save face and begin working their way out of it. And it's going to be messy for a while. And our government is sitting back and saying, huh, look at that, and really not saying much about it. Meanwhile, Apple is benefiting from it and helping the Chinese government. Well, there you go. There's an hour and 10 minutes on China imploding. Longer than I would normally do a segment. I just felt like there was so much that needed to be unpacked. It was worth it. Boomer, let's take a break about 3 minutes early here. Let's do that right now, and I'll switch gears as soon as we get back. We'll do that and move to number two on the Triple Dipper. Number two on the Triple Dipper. Environmental justice. Did you know the Green New Deal is to fight racism? Yeah, that's where billions of your tax dollars are going. Y'all stand by. This one might just make you mad. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Time now, 3:49 p.m. We're almost through with 2 hours, man. That was a long segment.
That was a long segment, but a good segment. I'm always interested to hear, you know, just what's happening on the other side of the world.
Well, your family's always been inclined to foreign, you know, yes. You know what's happening in the foreign countries and having a heart for foreign countries. Mm-hmm. And it's
And my brother spent two. Oh, man, did he spend 2 years over there? It was a year or 2 years.
Yeah.
Over in China.
Oh, in China?
Mm-hmm, he did. And his wife, another 2 years.
Mm-hmm. I had forgotten that.
Yeah.
They sure did.
So.
Yeah, wow. That was, what year was that? Do you recall?
Oh, boy. Now you're testing me.
What did I have for breakfast? Yeah. I don't know. No, but I'd forgotten that. Yeah, that was big doings. We were praying for him when he was over there.
It was like 10, 11 years ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know, my family, my sister-in-law is from one of the Asian countries. My brother spent, 4 years, I think, over there. He's probably listening right now going, no, it wasn't. It was five. But anyway, but yeah. How's the text line doing?
Text line's going good. Actually, there's one right here. Mike from Athens. Oh, he wrote, it made me laugh during the break. Maybe we can send Dr. Fauci over to China when he retires. I'm sure he'll be a big help.
Yes. Let them have the, never mind. I won't be too derisive. I'll go ahead and let it. But what's Paul from Athens saying there,
oh,
too?
Oh, let's see. Paul over here.
Mine's rebooting. I can't see it. Good. Is yours rebooting, too?
Yeah. Oh. Hold on 1 second. There we go. What Paul's saying is they're already doing the China thing here too, kind of urbanization.
Oh, okay. Well, Paul apparently broke my text line. So
Paul, you broke it.
Paul, you broke my text line. But anyway, I'm rebooting it right now just to make sure I get. Hey, by the way, you want to text in? We'll take it. The phone number here 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. And you're welcome to call in, too, for that matter. At this point, didn't we have a caller a while ago, Boomer? I guess somebody called and hung back up?
It was Allie. Allie, I'm sure she's going to be calling back.
Okay.
I told her to give a call back
a little bit. Was it not quite on topic we wanted to stick with?
Yeah, it was about China, but just not about iPhones in China.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
But she had an awesome story to tell, so I'm sure she'll call back soon.
Well, if she does, we'll take it. But hey, let me ask you this, Boomer.
Yep.
Boom shakalaka. So, did you know?
Did I know?
Did you know that the Green New Deal is not just to protect us from environmental, you know, devastation?
Really?
Did you didn't know that it was also there to prevent racism?
Wow. Do tell. Pray tell. I would like to know this. How?
So basically, if you're fixing the inequities caused by the marginalized communities of the United States having a more negative impact by environmental circumstances, you are, in a sense, dealing with racism.
Huh.
What did I just say?
I mean, it kind of went in my ear and jumbled up a little bit more.
Well, it came out of my mouth jumbled up. So, but the reality is that's the kind of gobbledygook, lofty liberal speak that happens. And you know what's crazy is I love it when they get into their vernacular and they create new phraseology. You can tell it's the catchphrase now. Well, the newest catchphrase is environmental justice.
Environmental justice.
Yeah, bro. Environmental justice.
Are they going to create a superhero? That's kind of what, you know.
Captain Planet. Whatever happened to Captain Planet?
Captain Planet.
Whatever happened to Captain Planet?
Oh, man.
What a loser superhero that was.
Wow.
Captain Planet. What did he even do?
Teal and blue and flew around.
But did he do anything? Did he use the powers of the environment? I don't even know what he did. Did he go after the people that are trying to kill the dolphins? I'm not sure what... Look him up and tell me what Captain Planet even did. I just remember he existed. I mean, to me, he was right up there with, you know, some of the other lame superheroes that liberals tried up. It's like, you know, you had back in the days when I was a kid, you had the Justice League on Saturday mornings, and then they had to screw that up by adding the two little wannabe kids with their pet monkey. Then I was like, why are they even in this cartoon? Just let Superman be Superman.
So I got Captain Planet up here on my screen.
Okay.
His powers and abilities. I can't believe we're talking about Captain Planet. Earth, wind, fire, lightning.
Earth, Wind, and Fire was the most awesome 70s band ever.
He can fly.
Ooh, it's September.
Become invisible. All kinds of stuff.
He could fly and become invisible?
Yeah, that's what it says. I don't remember that. But
why was he called Captain Planet? He was an environmentalist.
He was an environmentalist.
Yeah, it was an environmentalist thing. It was a subliminal Greenpeace cartoon. It was, yeah, okay. All right, listen. Hey, guys, you want to call in, we'll take it, 833-68-RIGHT. We're going to move into number two of the Triple Dipper here. The topic is going to be environmental justice because Captain Planet is now Joe Biden, just so you know. That's what you didn't know. Mild-mannered President of the United States in his alter ego is Captain Planet.
That's great.
This is like... I think this may become the next monkeypox segment here. We're going to have hats and t-shirts.
I'm going to do a little Captain Planet meme.
Joe Biden stripping his shirt off to show his Captain Planet costume underneath. Captain Planet.
And I am Captain Planet.
Don't you know Clark Kent had to sweat sometimes? I mean, he's always wearing long underwear under his clothes all year round. Why did I just think of that?
Oh, man.
Anyway, what's happening right now, Boomer?
I really,
man. All right, so here's the deal. Do you remember, and Boomer, you can remember this with me. Do you remember when Secretary of Department of Transportation, Pete Buttigieg, came to Alabama earlier this year, I believe. I think it was early this year. Yeah, June of this year, I believe. Story here on NPR. Phil, you went to NPR? Yeah. Yeah, I did, because sometimes you got to know what the other side is saying. Never mind, they're paid for with our tax dollars, which probably makes it more liberal. NPR reports in June of this year that Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg, on Thursday of that month, launched a $1 billion first-of-its-kind pilot program aimed at reconnecting cities and neighborhoods that have been racially segregated or divided by road projects. It's the whole racist roads thing. So the Joe Biden administration has what they call their whole of government approach, which I get it. I don't fault them for that. That actually makes good sense. A whole of government approach, meaning if one department says it, all the departments have to be in sync. Okay, that's actually good. But it's the policies they come up with that are bad. So Buttigieg is saying, hey, the bipartisan infrastructure bill that was passed gives $20 billion. No, it wasn't been $20 billion. It was well over a billion. That's right. The president wanted $20 billion. He got over a billion, though, to go out there in a first-of-its-kind pilot program to reconnect cities that had been divided and marginalized, largely minority-owned communities, when the 1950s creation of the interstate highway system. What crap. Are you looking up Captain Planet right now? Are you watching cartoons of Captain Planet while I'm over here doing the show?
Sorry.
If y'all could see... If the camera was looking right now, you'd see Boomer sitting at his screen looking at Captain Planet.
Boomer, I was doing research.
I do not want my adopted nephew, your son, to be watching Captain Planet. I feel bad about that.
He's not, but you would like wonder. I was just reading about it and what Captain Planet was all about. And it is about the environment.
Well, of course it is. That's why they called him Captain Planet. It's just yes, okay. All right.
I'm crying over here. My bad.
It's okay. I'm with you. Meanwhile, some Republicans, according to NPR, including 2024 potential presidential candidate Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, have derided the whole effort of racist roads as wokeification of federal policy, suggesting political crosswinds ahead in the election season. What they're saying there is literally this. The whole of government approach means if DOT is saying that, then you've got to imagine other departments are also pursuing how to deal with racism using infrastructure. Huh. So if there can be racist roads, pray tell what else can be racist? The Department of Energy's got it figured out. They need to go after what they now call environmental justice because they're the Department of Energy. Environmental justice, by the way, I got this off of energy.gov. This is their website. I'll tell you what, when we get back from this break, I will tell you what our government through the Department of Energy is saying the definition of environmental justice should be and where it goes from there. Billions of your tax dollars. Y'all stay tuned. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios, hanging out with Boomer, local, state, national, international, all the issues, man. And we are in hour number three, and like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, breaking news right now up on one of the big screens here on the right side over there. The U.S. National team just beat Iran in the World Cup. Yeah!
Yeah.
I'm saying... you know what? And they have ties in soccer. I don't understand that. No sport should have a tie. You should always have overtime until you go into sudden death. But anyway, bottom line is we didn't tie, Apparently, the U.S. defeats Iran and moves on in the World Cup. Take that, Iran.
Yes.
Which, by the way, apparently, and I'm saying it correctly, an Iranian, yesterday in a press conference, an Iranian reporter took issue with an American soccer player who mispronounced it Iran, and he corrected him and then said, and you're a black man, why are you playing for a team with a racist nation, or something to that effect.
Wow.
How about this? We beat you. Suck it up.
Well, moving on.
All right, we're moving on. Hey, the text line's got some funny stuff. I'm in this number three, or number two, excuse me, the triple dipper. Environmental justice. So, Boomer, you'll just listen. We gotta soften up, I guess, on the Captain Planet, because John from Huntsville says, thanks, Phil, for ruining one of my favorite cartoons of all time, Captain Planet. But then he did say LOL.
I mean, I did watch it as a kid. I remember.
Did you really?
I mean, I remember it.
I'm calling your mom and dad.
I just remember. Well, that's why I had to go look up these.
Well, you did turn out okay.
Yeah, I'm all right. But now looking back, and I'm like, why did I watch this? There's a lot of things that I say.
John from Huntsville just texted again, though, by the way. He says, maybe Joe Biden should go ahead and dye his hair green like Captain Planet. There it is. And then Paul from Athens, among other texts, what did he say here? Yeah, he's pointing out how many things are racist. Daylight savings times, road construction. Let's just say everything's racist. And, and the Wonder Twins. The Wonder Twins were awful. The Wonder Twin powers activate. That was just like, it's like, why are you ruining the Justice League with the Wonder Twins? You got to put something in there anyway. But he points out something we said yesterday during Adventures in Woke World. Wasn't that yesterday we talked about daylight savings time is apparently racist now?
Yes. Yeah, we talked about that.
I don't think so. I think it sucks to every member of the human race.
It's just awful.
What was the phrase? It disturbs my circadian rhythms.
Yes, that was it.
Yes.
Circadian rhythms.
So apparently your circadian rhythms are more disrupted, according to the U.S. government, it was CNN, if you are a minority. I don't know why that would be, because I don't know. I'm just saying, I'm pretty sure everybody loses sleep. What else do we have there? Glenn from Bluntsville says, you guys need to turn off Captain Planet and look up Beavis and Butthead. You'd have a better representation of Biden and Harris. Wow. 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 Wow, Glenn. Randall from Newmarket just texted in and said, Captain Planet is Al Gore. And then he went on to say about him doing some things that he says he spreads his manure and smells like a skunk. And so I, okay.
Man.
All right, moving on. So the U.S. government has taken the position that environmental justice is there to combat racial inequities due to climate change. I was not aware that such a thing could even exist, but leave it to the liberals to figure it out, because they do see racism under every rock. Here is the definition posted on the Department of Energy's website, energy.gov. You ready? Energy.gov says, and I posted this as of today, environmental justice is the fair treatment and meaningful involvement of all people, regardless of race, color, national origin, or income, with respect to the development, implementation, and enforcement of environmental laws, regulations, and policies. Fair treatment means that no population bears a disproportionate share of negative environmental consequences resulting from industrial, municipal, and commercial operations, and the ability in all communities to make informed decisions and to take positive actions to produce environmental justice for themselves. I don't even know what that means. Basically, what it's saying is, it ain't fair if some groups wind up having to bear the brunt of an environmental issue. Now, they do point out, sometimes it's like the factory towns where chemicals were poured into the water and contaminants caused, you know, cancer. I get it. That's different. But then you look at some of the other things they're saying, like climate change is one of the issues. Well, how can that possibly be? Well, first of all, just so you know, it's important that you recognize how many glass ceilings are being broken by the Biden administration, because it's not about anybody's qualifications. It's not about anybody's ability to do the job or the merit upon which they earned the position. It's about whether or not they met all the intersectionalities of the various liberal groups that lobby the Biden administration on a daily basis. So talk about that whole of government position. The EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, will create a new National Office of Environmental Justice to address the disproportionate harm that pollution and climate change have caused in low-income areas and communities of color, the agency announced on Saturday. Do tell. This was announced by CNN, I'm sure with much fanfare, on September 24th. Did you know that Michael Reagan, the EPA administrator, is the first black man to ever run the agency? Why do we care? Why do we care what color he is? I don't care. How about, is he a good dude? Does he put good policies in place? Does he actually know how to run an organization? Has he ever done anything in his life besides just work for the government? Anyway, Michael Reagan, the EPA administrator and the first black man to run the agency, announced the creation of the Office with Environmental Justice and Civil Rights Leaders on Saturday in Warren County, North Carolina. Here's his quote. From day one, President Biden and the EPA have been committed to delivering progress on environmental justice and civil rights and ensuring that underserved and overburdened communities are at the forefront of our work. With the launch of a new national program office, we are embedding environmental justice and civil rights into the DNA of EPA and ensuring that people who have struggled to have their concerns addressed see action to solve the problems they've been facing for generations. Blah, 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 blah. Time to call Captain Planet. I just got you, didn't I? Boomers over there laughing. Okay. So, all right, it's very important that another glass ceiling's been broken because everybody needed to know that the guy who runs the EPA is a black man. That's very important. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter whether it's qualified. It's not about the EPA administrator with a long history of being able to effectively run organizations and set public policy and know what it means to lead people and to it's just important that we know his skin color. Anyway, he has now launched the Office of Environmental Justice in the EPA. Well, politicalinsider.com. Headline dated yesterday. Let's follow that up. So they cranked up this new organization under the EPA in September. And guess what? EPA to spend $13 billion on environmental justice and climate. Here's where you start getting mad. Don't shoot me. I'm just the messenger. So the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency has $13 billion from the Inflation Reduction Act to fight climate crisis and to advance environmental justice and is asking the public for ideas on how to spend it. First of all, my fiscal conservative red flags are flying. Do you mean to tell me that you allocated $13 billion, but you weren't sure what it was going to be for? And so your answer to this is to ask people to give you ideas of how to spend $13 billion in tax dollars? Do you know why we are in a $31.4 trillion debt ceiling crisis right now? They call it a crisis. It's not. They want more debt. Why? Because of ridiculous things like this, where they pass stuff not even knowing what it's for. All right. I've had my moment. Let me come back. The funds give people the, quote, unprecedented opportunity to make lasting progress to equitably protect people and the planet from air pollution and climate change, said Joseph Goffman, a hack who works for the EPA. By the way, that was my addition. He goes on to say, they are asking for the public for ideas on how to spend it, according to Fox News. Huh. In seeking the public's input, Joseph Goffman said, we are eager to engage with all who have a stake in the success of these efforts, and our next steps will be guided by the wisdom and experience from the conversations we have and the feedback we receive over the next several months, blah, 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 blah. Can you imagine? So, first of all, what has Joseph Goffman ever done in his life to become the principal deputy assistant administrator? What does that even mean? A principal deputy assistant administrator for EPA's Office of Air and Radiation. So basically, he's the guy that makes coffee in that office and gets paid as a GS-15, I'm sure. But Joseph Goffman says, his quote is literally, we have $13 billion, and we don't know what to do with it yet. So his solution is, we are eager to engage with all who have a stake. You know who has a stake? The people who want to spend that money. So basically, if you're a government contractor, which there's a place for those, I got no problem with that. But if you're a government contractor, suddenly you're trying to figure out how you can get into all of some of that money that's laying around looking for ideas. Hey, we got a great idea. We'll do a thing over here where we'll plant more trees. Will you send us some money? Sure. And he says, our next steps will be guided by the wisdom and experience from the conversations we have and the feedback we receive over the next several months. The wisdom and experience we have from people, we don't even know who you are, but we assume it's going to be wise and experienced. And we're going to spend $13 billion once you tell us how to spend it. It's just, like, for instance, here's one they know they're going to do. $50 million has already been dedicated for air monitoring in communities that are underserved, historically marginalized, and overburdened by pollution. The program is listed by the EPA as, quote, the largest investment ever made to combat the climate crisis in our U.S. history. But it came from the Inflation Reduction Act, and the article points out no one has said how this is going to reduce inflation. Hey, Boomer, is your bacon cost less now that we've got the $13 billion to spend on environmental justice?
My bacon seems like it's still going up.
Yeah, well, the bacon is still out of reach for the average citizen, or at the very least, it costs them twice as much as it used to.
Man, and my milk.
Take me to a break.
Here we go.
All right. We're going to do it. We're going to take the break. We're going to come right back. Going to talk about a little more environmental justice, and then hopefully we're going to have time to switch to number three of the Triple Dipper, talk about national defense. I'm telling you, man, big doings around here today. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Captain Planet! And we're back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, I got to take a minute here and tell you. So my friends at ZLA Solutions, and yes, indeed, they are my friends. I know these folks personally. They've been with the show since the very beginning. ZLA Solutions is one of the best at putting people back to work. If you're looking for a job, and we know there are folks out there still looking. If you're looking for a job, go to their website, ZLAUSA.com. Check them out. They've got major jobs posted all over North Alabama. Good ones. Big name employers. Just check them out. But if you're an employer looking to fill out the ranks of your own workforce, you might need onesies and twosies, special niche kind of skills, or you might need a whole shift of people to work the factory line. It doesn't matter, blue collar, white collar, no collar, they can find them for you. They can do the recruiting, the background checks, the drug testing, all of it. And they're working with people, literally they're working all over the nation with folks, but Alabama's their headquarters. This is their home. They love it here. ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. Jobs and people, they are good at it. Check them out, ZLAUSA.com. And by the way, tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. I would appreciate that. Hey, the text line blew up. We got some new folks texting in, one of whom is Mike from Rainbow City. Mike from Rainbow City, we're glad you're here, man. I lived in Rainbow City for 24 years. Beautiful. I love that town. He says, by the way, he says on here with regards to Captain Planet.
Captain Planet.
I've never seen the movie Nacho Libre, but I know what he's talking about.
Oh, my
about.
Goodness.
Is it good?
Oh, it's hilarious.
Is that Jack Black plays that?
It's Jack Black. Yeah. That's my sister's favorite movie.
He said, oh, is it really?
Yes.
He says, Mike from Rainbow City says, so do you think, like Nacho Libre did, that when Joe Biden is alone in his room, he sometimes puts on stretchy pants and shouts out, look at me, I'm Captain Planet.
Well, it's funny about the Captain Planet thing again. Brian from Huntsville wrote in and says, I feel a great disturbance in the force.
But it was Earth, Wind, and Fire, which, you know, by the way.
And Heart. I did read about it.
Earth,
just a
Wind, Fire, and Heart.
Heart.
What?
Heart. There were five rings. That's what it says. You know,
heart
on the,
is not
on the
an
Google.
Element.
What? Tell Captain Planet.
I'm just so apparently, like Bruce Willis in the movie, he found the fifth element.
He found the fifth element.
Yes, it was love, love, love. Referring back to our first segment on China, Jay from Hartsville texts in and says, to preach freedom and then stay silent when you see what's going on in China is the same as promoting communism. You cannot affect change without ruffling some feathers. Apple is the Death Star. Wow, Jay, great points. Mm. That's well said. Paul from Athens texted in and said, Do you remember back in the 70s, he said, I think it was around 77, 78, Leonard Nimoy was all over TV saying we're about to be facing the next ice age? I'd forgotten that. He was a big climate activist. Yes. And then Paul also used our favorite word, cacistocracy, a government run by its least qualified individuals. Brandon from Athens just letting us know, by the way, the weather is getting rough up in Athens right now. So if you are an Athens listener, you know, just make sure you're tracking and you know your weather plan. And thank you, Brandon. Y'all be safe up there. Allie from Athens says, oh, Lord, help us. The DNA of the EPA gagged me with an entire place setting. She's right. That was it. That was the quote from the new head of the EPA, is that environmental justice will now be woven into the DNA of the EPA. Blah. What else we got in there real quick? Okay, I think that's about it for now anyway. Hey, listen, we're going to come right back and talk about this a little further. There's a Supreme Court ruling that has environmental activists freaking out. There's the White House just released its environmental justice screening tool so you can tell where environmental justice is needed. But the most telling of all is a story from literally 2 years ago. Like, this didn't just happen. Environmental justice, oh, they've been brewing this one. This is like a tea bag soaking in the water right now. This has been steeping for a period of time. And I told you earlier in the show, environmental justice, it's about the Green New Deal. It's just one way of figuring out how to get money to spend it because they use racism as the bludgeoning tool to get people to vote this stuff in. Well, I've got one here from CBS News dated June of 2020 where they even went so far as to invoke George Floyd before they talked about the need for environmental justice. Listen, I'm going to read you direct from the lips of the environmentalist wacko, Captain Planet herself. Is Captain Planet identifying differently now? Anyway, bottom line, I'm going to wrap this thing up right after the break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. We are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Time now, 4:35 p.m. By the way, Glenn from Bluntsville just texted in. I guess I mentioned Earth, Wind, and Fire a minute ago. He says, Heart was another great 70s band. Yes. Yes, they were. And by the way, I saw a double bill of Heart and Kansas together in Huntsville back in the 80s, I think. They were both, I mean, both bands were kind of a little bit down off their peak, but they were still good, man. And then, okay, I'm not sure what's happening here. Paul from Athens has sent me one. Here's one for your Woke World segments. It's called The Conspiracy Theory Rock. Oh, we got to check this out. It's a parody of Schoolhouse Rock that was on Saturday Night Live about 20 years ago, and it was banned. Okay, Paul, I will be checking that one out. Thank you very much. Hey, listen, before we go any further, I got to tell you, it's 4:35 p.m. right now, which means it's go-home time. And by the way, weather being what it is, some of y'all, especially in our listening area up in the Shoals, Athens, moving into northwest Huntsville, y'all be careful, all right? The weather is looking pretty severe, blowing stink out there is what I hear. So, yeah, just be mindful, have your weather plan, and drive accordingly. But if you're looking for something, I don't know, better than usual, like you just don't want the drive-through burger. Or here's an idea, maybe tomorrow morning you just don't want the drive-through biscuit on the way in. Let me suggest to you Just Love Coffee Cafe. Two locations in our listening area, one on South Parkway in Huntsville, the other on Hughes Road out in Madison. Listen, man, yeah, let's talk about the breakfast thing. So, yeah, maybe you want to take an extra minute, stop in. You can get a womlet. It's a giant omelet cooked in a waffle iron. It's got everything in the world in it, including tater tots. And it's all just cooked in a waffle iron. It's amazing. But then they've got waffles. They've got biscuits. They've got other things you can have. And so, listen, breakfast is unusual and unusually good. Couple that with a cappuccino or an espresso or a latte or just some freshly ground award-winning dry roast coffee. Just Love Coffee Cafe, it's a whole lot better than your average drive-through biscuit, let me just tell you. And two locations in our listening area, Hughes Road in Madison, out towards City Hall, and on South Parkway in Huntsville, down yonder near Whole Foods. Check them out. All right, I am in number two of the Triple Dipper, and I've got, what's Jeff from Indiana saying? Jeff from Indiana just texted in, by the way, and said, Heart was my first concert. Dog of the Butterfly Tour. Yes. The Wilson Sisters, man, they were good. I mean, it's one of those family bands that you look at and go, that's a lot of talent in one family, and there it is. Where are we looking at? JT from Lacey Springs says about China. He says, not that life was that good in China, but it's like they're in a dystopia now. I agree. Looking at sometime towards Mad Max world. All right, back on the topic. Environmental justice. Because Captain Planet is going to save the day. The White House releases an environmental justice screening tool. Did you know this? Just last week. Just last week, Boomer. An environmental justice screening tool. The White House is proud.
Screening tool.
A screening tool.
Hmm.
November 22nd, which happened to have been my 36th anniversary, by the way. The White House released the latest version of an online mapping tool intended to help funnel billions of federal dollars to disadvantaged communities, incorporating new metrics like historic redlining, wildfire risks, and proximity to abandoned mines. What? The Climate and Economic Justice Screening Tool, which has been years in the making, contains interactive maps that will help federal agencies make sure that disadvantaged communities get at least 40% of the benefits of climate-related spending, fulfilling an administration plan known as Justice 40. 40! Well, if it's that bad, why is only 40% going to them? Heck, 60%, 80%. Why 40? Well, that's racism, in my opinion, 40%. White House Council on Environmental Quality Chair Brenda Mallory said, every community, regardless of zip code, should have clean water to drink, healthy air to breathe, and protection from extreme climate events. You can't protect people from extreme climate events. What do you? I guess maybe she's talking about things like storm shelters and air raid or storm sirens. I get that. Wow. Okay. The tool released today, she said, would direct funds to places that have borne the brunt of pollution so we can assure they're some of the first to see the benefits of climate action. Captain Planet. Okay. Just so you know, by the way, the Supreme Court ticked a bunch of these environmental justice people off just earlier this year, July of this year. AP reported environmental justice advocates slammed the Supreme Court ruling. Supreme Court decision limited how the EPA could regulate carbon dioxide emissions from power plants could make an already grave situation worse for those most affected by climate change and air pollution. Advocates say environmental and climate justice advocates from across the United States are decrying the court's 6-3 ruling, saying it'll be most felt by communities of color and poor communities located near power plants at higher percentages than the national average. Shut up. Okay, listen. You need to understand. One of those think tanks that does amazing work for liberal policy is based right here in the South. It's called the Deep South Center for Environmental Justice. Where'd you say it was, Boomer? I asked you a while ago. You looked it up during the break. Was it New Orleans?
New Orleans.
Nolens.
New Orleans.
Nolens.
Nolens.
The Deep South Center for Environmental Justice. Her name is Monique Harden. She's the Assistant Director of Law and Policy at the Deep South Center for Environmental Justice. Told the Associated Press that despite the ruling, advocates say the ruling puts disadvantaged communities at greater risk of harm due to the effects of climate change and air pollution. They're also concerned about the ability of the EPA to enforce other bedrock environmental laws, like the Clean Water Act. Supreme Court decision, quote, denies relief to black and other communities of color, as well as poor communities disproportionately exposed to power plant pollution. Okay, listen. The government has bought into this. The government has bought into this hook, line, and sinker. Somewhere along the way, I don't know when it happened, but Senator Joe Biden apparently was inculcated with the idea that government can stop the climate. And that if they just had enough of your taxpayer dollars, they could really, really, really stop bad things from happening in racial inequalities based on climate change. Now, Phil, he's talking about different things. They're talking about, like, pollution from power plants and things. Yes, they are. But you know what? That's not the genesis of the conversation. That's just what they're using now to try to help smooth it over and not draw too much attention, in my opinion. Because I've got a story here from CBS News in June of 2020. Just before Biden won the election. Story is called Two Different Realities, Why America Needs Environmental Justice. So in this particular story, a puff piece for environmentalists, a lady by the name of Peggy Shepherd, who runs an organization called We Act for Environmental Justice, a New York City nonprofit organization, which has been working to improve the environment of local communities since 1988, answered a series of questions in an interview and basically gave the ingredients to the secret sauce. Because the first thing that happens in this article is they invoke George Floyd. Because understand, as you're leading into a conversation about climate change, you have to first talk about George Floyd and the disproportionate impacts of COVID-19 on people of color. Don't ask me. I mean, I don't know how that all relates, but they're saying it does. And then they get into environmental justice. Well, it's become what they say is a mainstream topic in this two-year-old article. A mainstream topic. And listen to this. You ready? Environmental justice has become a mainstream topic recently as awareness grows of the worsening impacts of climate change and the proposal for a Green New Deal. Ah, it is linked. CBS even admitted it 2 years ago that the environmental justice movement is linked to funding for the Green New Deal. And then they went on to interview Peggy Shepherd. Listen to the gobbledygook that is being spewed by the people who are then lobbying the administration to do the things that we're seeing now. Here we go. Environmental racism is the intentional targeting of... Intentional. I circled that, by the way. Look at my notes, man. There's more highlights and circles and markups on this one than I've seen in quite a while. Environmental racism is the intentional... Captain Planet! Environmental racism is the intentional targeting of pollution in communities of color and low-income communities because they are less informed and they vote less. What? They have less political clout and often land is cheaper in those communities. As a result, industrial pollution tends to get located inside those communities where there's more industry and government-run facilities like sewage treatment plants and bus depots. Okay. Here's where she gets very adamant. One thing we know is that environmental enforcement does not happen the way it needs to happen in communities of color and low-income communities. Because the laws don't matter if the community is a minority-based community. She goes on to say, but the one commonality is that pollution is in communities of color and low-income. Really? It's nowhere else. It's just in communities of color and low-income. Environmental enforcement is very lax, and those people who are most affected by that pollution are not a part of the environmental decision-making in that city, state, or nation. Then she's asked, I mean, they don't even question this. They don't take her to task. Nothing. It's just a, hey, tell us everything you think and we'll print it. And so she did. And they ask, can you trace the roots of environmental inequality? Environmental inequality in the United States back to their beginnings? Oh, she says, there's books written on this. Really? What books? We don't know. She didn't name them. There's books written on this. Urban planning is a good example, which has been planned for some of these situations that poor communities find themselves in. We understand that has been systemic. No examples, no footnotes, no, well, I think there's books written about this, and there's studies, and we understand. She goes on to say with some authority, but no citation to authority, extreme heat events right now are killing more African Americans than any other people. Boomer, black people are dropping like flies because of climate change. That's what I'm reading.
That's it.
It's just awful.
Oh,
it's
the climate change.
Climate change is ethnic cleansing. That's what I'm reading. That's what she says. Extreme heat events, where? It's in America, apparently, because she's talking about African Americans. Where? Extreme heat events right now are killing more African Americans than any other people. No citation to authority. Air pollution creates something like 200,000 premature deaths around the country every year. No citation to authority. I think, like a lot of people, have been stunned to understand that air pollution has increased the risk of more severe impacts from COVID-19. That could be true. It's a lung disease. And so the link of environmental exposure, she says, to health outcomes is very strong. And I think the Harvard study came out last month, or certainly bears that out. But she doesn't cite the study. She's just winging it, man. A number of studies show the primary predictor of where toxic waste sites will be sites. I can't even speak. Captain Planet! Where the toxic waste sites will be sited is a community of color and secondarily low income. So it's color first. Now she points it out. First they go to the black communities, and then they go to the poor community. They got an order. It's a precedent. And then she wraps it up with this saying, there are many Gulf Coast states and communities that have still have not been restored from hurricanes. Well, that's because it takes a long time to build back. But she says, you got black communities in Alabama, Mississippi, they're still waiting for their roads to be repaved. That investment came from the federal government. It did not go to the most impacted communities. And we're seeing things like climate migrants. Oh, you mean climate migrants, like people moving away from the coast because they're tired of hurricanes. Or Boomer, check with our callers, see if you can hold on, because we got to take a break, brother. I'm not going to have any time left. Let's do that. Let's take the last break. We'll check and see if our caller can hang on. We'll wrap this up. Apparently, I did not get all three dippers done today, Boomer. It's just, what do you do, man?
You got too much content. Too much stuff, yeah.
Woo! All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Captain Planet! We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, Jim from Madison, by the way, just texted in. He said, newsflash, MSNBC, planet killer asteroid to hit tomorrow and end all life on Earth, people of color and minorities hardest hit. That's just good. Is that original? Jim, if that was an original, that was excellent, man. Post that one online. That was good. I got a caller on the line who held on during the breaks. So let me honor his time. Mark from Owens Crossroads. Mark, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, Colonel. How are you?
I am good, sir. I'm good. What's on your mind?
Okay, so what you were just spouting out from the articles and the people saying them and all of that nonsense is the biggest load of bovine methane release I think I've ever heard. But yet, people believe it.
Yeah,
they really buy into this. And my theory is this, and it's quite simple. If I'm shopping for a house, if I'm looking for a house, and I want to buy it near a chicken processing plant or a big dirty factory or something of that nature, it's going to cost me less, and you know, maybe that's what I have to do. But hopefully you can afford a house not by there. So what I'm saying is, it's all about the economics, and that's not really being addressed with the articles and things that you're saying. What you're saying makes no sense to a lot of people. Makes some sense, unfortunately, to others. But it's the economics. First, you build the factory, the housing values are low, and if that's what you can afford, you're going to live there. It doesn't have to do with what color you are. You could be white, Asian, black, African. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
That's what you can afford. And so people end up living there, and they can sit there and do the statistics, and they can say, well, we have all these factories and there's all these privileged or minority people or whomever they want to say, they can do the statistics. It's all about the economics.
Yeah, and here's the other side of the economics, too. The other side of the economics on this, Mark, is then they go ahead and take our tax dollars, and like the EPA has now been given $13 billion to address environmental justice, but by their own admission, they have no idea what to spend it on, so they're soliciting input from the public. That's just unbelievable.
And you being a senator, know more than anybody about that, and that's ridiculous, too.
We could do a whole work worth. Thanks, brother. You have a great night, Mark. He's right. I mean, you look at it and go, that it's not because of climate that people live where they live. They live where they live because of their economics. But, you know, they say, well, it's also the underserved community, the poor communities that are being disadvantaged. No, it doesn't work like that. And by the way, in the same article, the liberal tripe that I was reading out in that last article talks about, and then we have to deal with climate migrants. Well, if you don't want them to live there, I mean, now, by the way, I get it. If we need to clean up a factory town, if we need to clean up contaminated water, address it. Absolutely. But when they start trying to mask environmental issues like so-called climate change and say that is in somehow impactful against minority, climate doesn't just sit down on a poor community. In other words, it doesn't just get hot or just hail or only have tornadoes in places where the poor people live. It weather knows no social boundaries, none. Weather doesn't recognize state lines. Weather recognizes perhaps some geography, you know, helps inspire it, like hurricanes happen on the coast, not on the inlands. You know, tornadoes tend to happen more on the inlands, less on the coast. You're gonna see things that are maybe geographically located, but you know what? If you don't want to live in Tornado Alley, don't live there. But don't try and portray this as being a racist issue. Environmental justice, all it is the Green New Deal. It gives them a chance to spend our tax dollars and to curry favor with the lobbyists who want them to spend more money on wind farms and other things through subsidies. It's unreal. It's unbelievable. All right, listen. What an amazing show. And folks, we got plenty more where that came from. Don't forget, by the way, we are now announcing that we are going to be airing our exclusive interview with Christian recording artist, Grammy Award-winning, Dove Award-winning, Stephen Curtis Chapman. That'll be at 3 o'clock on Thursday, so just go ahead and make sure you got that one planned, and we'll podcast it after it airs. All right, what a day. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, me and Boomer back here tomorrow, too. You guys have an amazing night. We'll see you then.
Ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right.